and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So as we get into this season, I've been pretty intentional more than years past about trying to plan for a successful Thanksgiving week. And by that, I mean that I guess I'm trying to practice what I'm preaching, which seems to be a fairly good principle, right? Not just to tell you guys what you need to do, but collectively what we need to do. I feel like that brand some authenticity in what I'm trying to say. And so knowing Thanksgiving week is coming up, and I was in charge of getting together the Thanksgiving Eve service for our community cluster of churches because nobody else wanted to take it, which between us here is foolishness, right? Because now I got mine out of the way, and they have to deal with Holy Week, all of themselves. So that's like, we don't tell any of the others. So don't go to Pastor Sandy and go, here's what Chris said, because then she's going to steal it from me next year. But, all right? But it just means that there's a little bit more going on for this week. And so kind of 2 to 2.5 weeks ago, I thought, okay, I'm going to plan this out well so that I can get everything finished so that when Thanksgiving comes or after that community Thanksgiving service, like I am ready for the family time that's going to happen, because we were with my in-laws on Thanksgiving and on Friday, and they like to go out and they like to do the shopping thing, and like, it's kind of like being at the hospital where you're not on your own time, right? Because there are so many people and family coming and going that I left my watch at home by mistake, but it was probably good, right? Because if I'm always looking at my watch or looking at how much I exercised, it would have been a disaster. But I had everything printed. I had, you know, like sermon was written like a while ago. It was good. And so when I was able then to on Thursday and Friday be there, I was able to be with one another and see things a little bit more differently, rather than thinking about, okay, well, I got to get home and I've got to print the bulletins, I got to do this, and I've got to, you know, kind of like coming home from vacation when you have those hanging things, or if you're traveling like the plane ride back home from vacation, like as the miles creep closer to home, like your anxiety starts. Anybody else there too, where you feel work starting to creep in, right? So that was my goal, is not to have that, so that then I could find that time to be grateful and thankful. And as I did that, I did a pretty good job today, or this weekend. I was able to then kind of see, like the imagery says behind me, kind of the beauty in all situations, whereas before I hadn't been able to do that. And so as we go, you know, we think about how you know, there's some times and some places where we just need to kind of do things to get them checked off the list, like the envelopes that we talked about those Christmas spirit offering envelopes. We got those done and out of there. Now, there are a couple of things that folks don't realize about me, is that number one, there are places in my life where, man, I am a perfectionist. Like, I have OCD to the point that I can't finish a project unless I know it is locked down perfect, okay? And there are other things where I really don't care. But I know that there are some things on the envelopes that you have right now are little changes and tweaks that the next printing will change. But there is benefit and value in the fact that done is better than perfect sometimes, right? Because done let me enjoy family time. Another one is that I am super competitive, and I try to play it off like I don't care, or stuff doesn't bother me. But some of you have seen when like the switch has flipped and all of a sudden it's game time, and it's sometimes ugly, especially like at youth group or something, man. It is just, yep, no middle schoolers are going to beat me at anything. And so that goes on, right? But these things allow us then to free up that margin and that bandwidth to see the beauty in what we have and be more attentive to that gratitude in our lives. And so we've been spending the past 2 weeks, and this is the third week of the series that we're going to finish up, this series that we call With Grateful Hearts. And so the first week we looked at the benefits of gratitude in our lives and how we've been made to be grateful. And so we've physiologically, in our relationships, and theologically been made to have gratitude in our lives, because it's such a benefit to kind of how we operate, how we live, how we see life, that we're not just making it from our first day to our last day, but through gratitude, we can then live that abundant life that Jesus talks about and alludes to, that we don't have to be slave to those things that would hold us back from that. And then last weekend, we talked about how we're able to use and praise God in the midst of storms, and we can give God gratitude or thanks in every circumstance, not for every circumstance, but in every circumstance. So we kind of left you with a song written in 1899 by Ada Blankenhorn that reminds us to stay on the sunny side of life, that if we're going to travel down the road, we have a choice that we can either stay in the darkness and the shadows, or we can try to find where that sun might just be creeping through and find that warmth. Isn't there a difference, especially in these cold days that's cold and windy, right? Like you just go over to the other side of the street and it feels like it's 10 degrees warmer. And so that's the kind of mentality of we don't give God thanks for every circumstance, but we can find something to praise in every circumstance. And so today we're gonna have some tools to put in your gratitude toolbox to allow us then to cultivate a kind of lifestyle of giving God thanks and gratitude. So we'll have at least five. We might sneak a sixth one in at the very end, but then in your bulletin today, in that middle section, your Monday momentum that we have, there's five blanks right there. And so if you wanna just kind of follow along, we're gonna go down because I really wanna give you these tools and then you can impart them into your week ahead as we continue on with that, and that then becomes your next steps for this week. And so the hope is, though, that we can use these tools to close what we're calling the gratitude gap. That kind of, I need to be more grateful, or I understand this as being something that I need to do in my life and our practice. Like, is anybody there with me that has a big gratitude gap that they kind of think, okay, I need to do these things to say thanks, but in practice, those things don't necessarily always happen, either because they're hard, they're awkward, or they're super easy, that you think, oh, well, that'll only take 5 minutes. This is my problem. That'll only take 5 minutes. And then you never do it because, oh, well, I'll find 5 minutes somewhere else, or I'll find, and then the moment is gone, right? And so hopefully these will help you kind of close that gratitude gap. And when I found this image from that first slide, there's this little hashtag right there that says, give presents, but not like the presence of like gift wrap things, but of being there with you. Isn't that kind of awesome? That's like a little gem that I found in the stock imagery this week of we can find beauty, but then we can also give the gift of our whole presence, of being fully present in the places where we are. And I know that gift because I was able to do that a little bit more fully this past week. And so as we just jump right into it, the first one is that there are folks that have thankless jobs. And if we think about, or if you kind of name those places that have thankless jobs, you think about agents for TSA, thankless job, right? Or like lost luggage, thankless job. When I was in middle school, I took a job aptitude test. I've told some of you this, and my number two answer was the one that I really wanted, was a physical therapist. That was a job that I was qualified for, which was awesome. Number one, though, was not so awesome. It was a waste management specialist. And I was like, what does that mean? And how do you even have that on a job aptitude test for a middle schooler? That's like saying, like you could be a trash man and going, I felt like I had already peaked at middle school with that, right? But realizing that like, collecting trash is something that we absolutely need to do, and that the trash men that come around, the waste collection specialists that come around our place, and kind of because of my middle school experience, though, I think I've had an eye and an aptitude for looking around and getting to know like our guys, and then knowing who they are and their age, and that like at Christmas time we'll just set out a little six pack of beer for them, you know, or something to give them thanks, or in our mailbox for the thousands of Amazon Prime packages that our mail carrier gives us, we'll give them something too, because that is a thankless job, right? Man. Or when we come into the middle school, I don't know administrations now, I know like one or two people in the central office, but I've gotten to know every single facilities person here who is with us on Sunday mornings because they're amazing and they're awesome and they get up early on Sunday morning to work for us, right? That's cool. So the first gratitude tool is thank someone who has a thankless job. So next time you're going through the airport or you're doing something, just stop. And the people that are checking your IDs and passports and everything else, just say, thank you so much for doing what you're doing. keeping us safe, because there's a bigger picture that me taking off my sandals, you know, doesn't see all the time. The second one is I am sure that there is someone in your life that has made a personal impact or has changed the course of your life in a positive way. And so as you start to think about that and think about those people, we often sometimes think about, and if they're people that are really close to you, if they're immediate family, we don't often thank them because they're always there and it either feels hard or we just forget about it or we take them for granted. And so, there are a number of teachers in my life or the pastor that I grew up with and her husband really invested in me to explore what I might do and do it to the best of my ability and be faithful to God's calling. And so I just wanted to share a video with you though in just a second. And the setup, you'll hear it in a little bit, but it's from the company or from the group called Soul Pancake. They bring us such wonderful videos as like the Kid President stuff and things like that. And so they did an experiment and they gave people a happiness survey or a joy survey. And then after that, they asked, you know, who's somebody who's influential in your life and write down and describe that person on paper. And then they added the next level to that so we don't just keep it to ourselves. So Paul, could you play that video for us, please? So it's kind of a powerful shift in the tone of the video when it goes from write down to then call, right? And there's something that changes in naming to that person because we start to open ourselves up and become really vulnerable, right? I did this one time with my youth ministry professor in seminary, and I was like, man, you know, kind of did that and sent it to him. And my response was that I got back an email was, hey, thanks. What? You know, but then we ended up meeting up because he knew that we were going to have lunch. Then a few weeks later at a conference, he said, look, I really appreciated that. And nobody ever, you know, sends their youth ministry professor an email saying the impact that they've had. But man, and so we had this really genuine and you know, beautiful conversation because of this way in which I was willing to share my gratitude for him and then kind of change some of that relationship. And so this week, personally thank someone who has changed the course of your life. The third tool is something that we've been doing for the past 21 or so days is that gratitude journal that we've seen that the way that those practices of giving thanks and giving gratitude at the end of the day or the beginning of the day helps change that brain chemistry in a way that changes our perspective and affects the way that we see life in other places. And so that one's something that if you need another journal, I'll get you another journal. There's some are back on the spotlight table, but how can we do that together is an important piece. And then the next one, number four, is practicing simplicity and generosity. And we've talked about this previously, and as we come off of the Black Friday hangover, right? Or whatever else that we've had, we see that those deals and the things that we have may not give that lasting contentment that we do. But when we start to invest and live simply and say, do I need this? Or is there a way that I might be able to invest in other people? That's a good shift for us. And to see the why, again, that why behind it, like this morning right before worship, the little box right here that makes the projector go has like a short in it. And so it's working as long as we don't talk about it, right? It's one of those things or breathe on it or whatever else. So if it goes out and our digital hymnal goes for the last song, that's on me. I'll take full responsibility, okay? But anyway, so before worship, I was able to get on Amazon because, you know, it's Amazon. And tomorrow we're going to have another Cat 5 cable and another box. And, you know, a piece of that is I don't need that funds, that the Bishop family doesn't need that, but the way that we can communicate and do ministry and work towards transformation is going to be worth more, so much more, in the way that we can use AV to convey what God is up to and doing in this community than anything that I could have found on a Black Friday doorbuster sale, right? So simplicity and generosity. And finally, the fifth one, maybe the most important though, is prayer. is taking time to reflect and get charged up by what God is doing. And I love this Meister Eckhart quote, that if the only prayer you ever say in your entire life was thank you, it would be enough. To name that everything is gift and to know that everything is gift and that we are just stewards for a time is a beautiful piece, right? And so sometimes when Katie and I, my wife Katie and I, are a little bit frustrated, as kind of happens when we're at our wit's end with the parenting thing, because usually it's because the girls don't do what we want, right? But in reality, it's all awash and we should just be more gracious. But sometimes we give God thanks that we are only stewards, right? But we get to have them for this amount of time, that we are stewards as parents, and that all of this is gift. And so with these five, then, we start to cultivate a lifestyle, an understanding, a broader experience of what it is to live a life of gratitude. By thanking somebody who has a thankless job, we have eyes to see the people on the fringes and who no one else would see. Through giving thanks personally to somebody that we have encountered or has changed the trajectory of our lives, we get to open up and share who we are because of them. And that's a beautiful thing. Through journaling, we have an idea of the way that the ordinary becomes super beautiful just by writing them down. And through simplicity and generosity, we get to invest in the transformation of things that are outside of ourselves. And finally, by prayer, we get to say thank you, for all of this is a gift. And so at the beginning of this series, we asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, where you would rank yourself on your ability to be generous. And I think it was, 1 was, I am not great at all about being generous, and 10 was, I am absolutely perfect, and I give classes on being generous to other people. That's how generous I am. I am the most generous and most humble ever, 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 right? So on that scale, there's that, and hopefully the goal was to move you 1 or 2 more numbers up the line about your generosity. And so I'd love to hear stories about that how the journaling or how that mindfulness has shaped and changed kind of your outlook on these past few weeks as we continue to finish up that 30-day gratitude challenge. But as you filled in those blanks then, as you talk about and think about those ways in which you might then cultivate the gratitude for the next, 30 days on top of the 30 days that we've started into the new year, how might that be a gift and a change in our lives? Let's close with a word of prayer. God of grace, we give you thanks for the ways in which you call us to be yours, fully recognizing those gifts that you give us through the air that we breathe, to the people that you place in our lives, and in the ways in which you move among us and through us, God. We give you thanks for community and for your son. And God, just allow us to be emboldened enough to say thank you 1,000 times a day. Thank you for the small things and the big things. Thank you for the way in which others invest in us and the way that we get to invest in them. God, in all of these things, they are yours and we are just stewards of them. In your son's name that we offer this prayer, amen. Perfect. I invite you to stand as you are able to sing our last song. And this is the bonus. The 6th bonus is cultivate a spirit of gratitude by singing your faith, by using those words to change our perspective. So it feels appropriate that we're going to end today's worship with a song called Give Thanks. Boom.